This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Tell me, are you locked in the pond? Andy, are you goofing on Elvis?
That's the Andy Banker, not Andy Kaufman. Hello, Andy Banker. Welcome to the Hancock and Kelly Show.
Remember Andy in the wrestling match?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Andy Kaufman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was he going to wrestle?
I don't know.
Danny DeVito.
No.
No, but he almost got himself killed because he was a weird dude, right?
Yeah, he was strange.
Yeah. And almost got himself killed in the process. Did you watch that movie with that Jim Carrey did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Man on the Moon? Was that the name of it?
Yeah. He was out there, man.
He was strange.
He was out there. But he was in Taxi. Was that right?
That's with Danny DeVito.
Yes. And didn't he want, I think he wanted to wrestle a female wrestler.
That sounds right.
Right?
Could be.
But I know he would go on like Letterman and stuff and they'd want to kill him. Like he would do stupid stuff.
Right. I think that's where the challenge was born. Maybe it was born on the David Letterman show.
It certainly could have been.
Yeah. How are you and how was your holiday?
Good. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year once more.
Back at you, big boy.
Yeah, it was really good.
Would you go anywhere?
Just over to my sister's in Columbia, Illinois.
You're an Illinois guy.
Yes. I went to my cousin's house on Christmas Eve, and he lives in South County, kind of by Suson Park.
Columbia, Illinois is my hidden secret. I don't like anybody to know the amount of golf courses that are over there.
Oh, yeah. Where do you like to play?
I really don't want to tell it, but I like the bridges.
Oh,
and the reason I like Columbia bridges is they got a couple of janky holes, but...
Yeah, they do.
But you go out there... There's usually not many people out there, and you can play golf like you're, you know, by yourself, like it's your own country.
And it's relatively inexpensive.
Relatively,
yeah. But it feels like the whole course is uphill to me.
Totally.
No.
Yeah. And it's connected to another course, right? Columbia Country Club
Columbia. Yeah. And that course is good, too. And that one's not as uphill. Not to disparage the Columbia Bridges, Johnny.
Well, walking uphill is, good for your heart. You got to get the, they call that cardio workout.
Yeah, my brother and his group play out there all the time.
Yeah.
They were talking about it on Christmas, my brother and my brother-in-law. Oh, the bridges. My brother played the best nine holes of his life.
I'm surprised I haven't run into him.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You could have played golf on Christmas Eve.
Well,
easily.
Yes, but since then it's been sort of we had a good day yesterday.
Right?
Yesterday was nice.
Christmas Day was warm but rainy and miserable, and today's just awful.
Yeah, it looks like winter's here to stay now. It doesn't look like we're going to have any more of those warm
days. I think we're
going to
be back up on Saturday into the high 40s.
Columbia, Illinois, you grew up in Millstadt, right?
Yes.
That's just what, a couple miles away?
Seven
miles away.
And 7 miles from Belleville.
Yeah.
Probably 7 miles from Smithton.
What's the big attraction over there in Millstadt?
Are you serious? It's the apple picking, right?
Apple picking?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eckert's. The big Eckert's is no longer the one right outside of Millstadt. It's closer to Belleville. Where they got the country store and the restaurant and all of that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but when I was a little kid growing up, you just saw a constant flow of Missouri plates for two reasons through Millstadt. One... I'm pretty sure it was Thursday. Thursday night bingo at St. James. Remember, you guys were talking about gambling and sports betting.
Yeah.
Missouri's had the thirst for a long time. So much so that Missouri people kept Catholic parishes in Illinois in business.
Because bingo was illegal.
For years.
Bingo was illegal in Missouri.
In
fact, it became a law when I was in the legislature the first year. It was in 1989. And we had, I'll never forget it, the bingo bill.
Yes.
And we're passionate debates on the floor of the legislature. And I stood up to give my very first speech on the floor of the Missouri House.
Okay.
And I said, Mr. Speaker, finally, here's a bill we can all be for.
No, did you really?
Yeah, of course he did. How long have you known this clown? Of course he's going to make that joke.
I know he's going to make the joke, but I don't know if he really said it in the legislature.
I did indeed.
Yeah, I could see him doing it.
Yeah, so I mean, the entire St. James grade school parking lot was covered with red plates back in the day when the Missouri plates were just red and white. And we would get out of school, a class in the afternoon, to set up the cafeteria, put up all the tables and folding chairs,
so they could run
bingo.
A gambling hall.
Right.
Good Lord.
That's the way the world ran. So bingo, and people would also be driving through town and say, Eckerd's. How do we get to Eckerd's?
Yeah.
How do we get to Eckerd's?
I was in Millstadt last weekend.
You were?
I went out there to see my aunt. She lives over there. And what's amazing to me is you feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere, but if you get to a couple of those bluffs, you can see the lights of downtown St. Louis.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like you're way out in the middle of nowhere, but you're not far from town.
You could drive a couple miles out of town that people used to, park up on top of the bluff where Eckerd's is, and watch the fireworks.
Wow.
On the 4th of July over the arch.
And now that we've lit the arch up, hey, by the way, have you guys seen that?
I have not.
It looks awesome.
It is so awesome.
Yes.
And John, you, for the 15 years we've been on the radio together, how long have I been complaining about the arch?
Approximately 15
years. Yeah. So, they never lit it up. And then we're worried about the doggone birds. And then it was lit up half, with
right.
a couple of flashlights. They did it right.
Right.
Finally.
They put in new lighting and now it's relit and it looks great. And yeah, I thought the same thing. My son and I were driving through downtown for some reason, not coming from Illinois, but coming from we live on this side of the river.
Uh-huh.
And we both noticed it.
Yeah.
It's well done. It's not partial. It looks like...
And it doesn't matter what angle you look at, you can see. And that's how it should be. I mean, this is one of the greatest pieces of modern artwork in the world. It's recognized as artwork. And the fact that you would have to, in the wintertime, if you're not here for those 6 or 7 hours we got light, you would miss the arch. I think it's awesome that we have it. My question, though, I asked the Arch Foundation, they haven't told us yet. Can we light it up in colors? So, like, when the Cardinals are red hot, can we make it red? On St. Patrick's Day, can we turn it green? They can do that to the White House. Why can't we do it to the Arch?
Probably can.
I don't know.
It depends on how it bounces off that shiny silver.
I'm sure there are federal regulations governing the use of lights.
Of course.
In a national park.
Yeah,
like that.
Because we got to worry about the birds.
Well, the birds are important, Michael.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Hancock turns into an environmentalist when it comes to them coming in and talking about turning the lights off on the
birds. Well, you don't want the arch out there killing birds. I mean,
But all the buildings in downtown are lit up. Nobody's worried about the birds, about the, birds flying into them.
Well, the bird can see a building, Michael.
But it can't see the arch?
The arch is a what do you call that, a parabola or whatever you call it. What do you call it?
I don't know. It's like a triangle.
Catenary curve.
It's one of those. And so, that's kind of wreaks havoc because the birds, their eyes are on the sides of their heads. And, and so when you
that's
got a little skinny arch up there in the air, you bam. And
back in Millstadt, we'd have them fly at, 80 knots, however, airspeed.
Yeah.
Right into our big picture windows. Fly right into our window, our dining room window, and there'd be dead birds on the ground. That didn't happen all
the time. Your folks still live over there?
My mother does, yes.
Your mom does?
Yep. And we still have Banker's Auto Parts, the family business over there.
Hey.
I mean, it's not my brother's business, but I still call it the family. If he's listening, he's probably like, yeah, family. When you guys need free auto parts, it's family business.
Come in here and help pay the taxes, little brother.
How long has Banker's Auto Parts been in business?
Oh, in Millstadt, 50 years.
Wow.
I think we just passed 50.
Are we doing anything for the 50th anniversary?
I think Dad moved it over there in 1973. Yeah. I don't know. We're supposed to have a big party for it. We'll have to talk to my brother Matt about
time,
that.
Well, if it was 73, time's running out.
Can we get a Hancock and Kelly cameo?
Oh, we'll be there. I'll bring an alternator with me.
It was formerly Guaranteed Auto Supply right across the street from Sportsman's Park.
Wow.
At Grand and Dodier.
Really?
Yes.
And moved it to
Millstadt.
What made them do that?
The family moved from South St. Louis to Millstadt. I don't know what made them do that. My parents were both from the city. Well, my mom grew up in Springfield, Missouri, but they both lived here in the city with my three oldest siblings for a time. And I think maybe they were just thinking,
yeah,
let's get out of the city.
So how many people
someone
are in
showed
Millstadt?
Them a house in Millstadt?
And
probably 4,000 or 5,000 now.
Four or 5,000?
Doubled. When I was there, it was like 2,000 when
Enough
I was
to have your own
out.
Catholic parish.
Yeah, and you knew everybody in town back then.
Yeah.
Now there are more people there than I know. More people I don't know than I know.
What school do you go to when you live in Millstadt?
Millstadt Consolidated School,
nice.
MCS, they
nice.
Call it.
Not a school.
But not me.
Oh, yeah, you're
I
a Catholic.
I went to St. James.
Yeah.
The schools, put aside the Catholic schools, the public schools in Illinois are unique. We're used to... the school districts being from kindergarten all the way through high school.
Yeah.
My understanding of the school districts over in Illinois is they're their own separate taxing entities whether it's the grade high school or grade school, high school. So it's all different.
It depends on the district.
Does it?
Yeah. I think you could ask Ranji. I think Granite City schools are one district throughout.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think so. But the Belleville Township High School school district, yeah, that's separate from the grade school.
Yeah, they'll do their own taxes.
Two high schools.
So I know somebody who was over at one of the elementary schools over there, Signal Hill.
Yeah.
And it's a great little place there in Belleville. My uncle ran it for a while, and he said that, no, they were their own little school and their own taxing district, et cetera. And it was, Illinois has as many school districts as almost as the other states combined.
Wow.
Ain't that interesting?
Well, you would think it would be not cost effective to have all of those things, right? If you consolidated the administrative costs and so forth. Well, that's interesting. Because Missouri has 572 school districts, which
is
right? A lot. Yeah.
We should Google, but I think it's like thousands upon thousands in Illinois. Hey, we'll step aside. We'll come back and talk about that. It's been a crazy year in politics. We thought we'd talk a little bit of that with you, and then maybe some Mizzou, Illinois, Andy?
That's what we do. Yeah. Oh, I'm all up for that.
We've got to talk that. After this on Hancock and Kelly. It's Hancock and Kelly in for the Dave Glover Show. We'll take you all the way till 5 p.m. this evening.
And you'll get the, we're here till 5?
Yeah, then we're going to have the news and Sports Open Line with Matt Pauly tonight.
Yes.
Keep it tuned to Camel X. We'll keep you updated on all the latest changing weather conditions, although the snow's kind of quit, huh?
Seems like it has.
Yeah. Andy, you grew up in St. Louis. You grew up in Southern Illinois. Your family is from St. Louis. So you wind up going to Illinois, the University of Illinois. What made you choose there?
My mother.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a potential of playing Division III college football.
Oh.
At Milliken.
Uh-huh. Oh, Milliken.
Which is in Decatur.
In Decatur, yeah. What are you, a linebacker?
No, I was an offensive lineman.
Offensive
lineman? Or Washington University here.
Really?
Yep. And I skipped past both of them. My brother was playing in the NFL at the time, my brother Ted.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And he talked me out of a college football career. He's like, what do you think you're going to be in the NFL? You're smart. You know, be a full-time student. Because he said the football thing is, no matter what division you're playing, would be a full-time gig.
Yeah.
Is he still dealing with some of the ramifications of playing in the NFL?
Injuries and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had a pretty long career by NFL standards, right?
Yep. Pretty much the 82 to 90.
Yeah.
Maybe 81, didn't I? I can't remember.
It has to be hard to see
80s.
One of your siblings. I mean, it's got to be pride, full of pride, that, oh, my goodness, that's my sibling. But at the same time, they're getting the hell knocked out of themselves.
Yeah. And his career ended in the AFC Championship game. One game from the, you know, if they win, they're in the Super Bowl. He was with Cleveland then. And they were in Denver. And my sister was at the game and saw him get knocked out. And we were all at a watch party. There's a big Browns fan club in St. Louis at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we were heroes with a guy on the team. You know, I can't believe my parents weren't out at that game. I don't remember why they weren't. But
I can't believe the Browns were one game away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it was like the last play of the game. The game was long decided, and the Browns threw an interception, and my brother ran off hot-headed trying to tackle the guy that intercepted it, and his leg just flew apart.
Oh.
Everything you could tear in your knee, he tore.
Oh.
And they showed him being carted off in the wagon, and then you never heard another thing about it on the broadcast, so we didn't know. And my sister called from Denver crying, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and eventually it was bad. He had one of the first knee replacements ever done.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. So, when you grow up in Illinois, you wind up going to the University of Illinois. Here you are involved in St. Louis media. We're very Missouri-centric, the St. Louis media. In fact, you know, Illinois Illini will sometimes get a mention on the news, but there's often nights they won't even mention them.
Yeah.
What's that feel like? I mean, here you are.
Well, I don't know.
Happy,
you know,
to live over there, and we barely get any attention.
Yeah, but I grew up a Mizzou fan. You know, everybody was from St. Louis on my side of the family.
Right.
And I kind of, like, when I was a kid, I was like, I wasn't born in Missouri. So I remember taking a liking to the orange and blue, Fighting Illini as a little boy, when no one else in my house even really cared about them that much. And then My mother sort of pushed me to go there when I didn't want to go to the other two schools I was considering, and it was a little too late to push for Mizzou. And I kind of knew what I wanted to do, so doing the that would have been a maybe a better journalism school to go to.
Oh, the broad, yeah, Mizzou. Uh-huh. I don't know. But, they kicked me.
Yeah,
out of that.
No. It was, and when I actually went there, it was a little more difficult than you might imagine because everybody, it was like South Chicago University.
Yeah,
you know, everybody
right.
was from the Chicagoland up there. There were very few of us from my neck of the woods, but there were enough. You know, I have a lot of good friends that I grew up with here who went to school with me there.
What drew you
it
into,
feels good when we win the big game before Christmas.
What drew
yeah,
you
we
into
just got
the
basketball that bragging game. Rights, boy. They humiliated Mizzou, didn't they?
What drew you into media?
Oh, man, I don't know. Well, I don't. I mean, I wanted to be Jack Buck. I've told
All
Joe
right.
that
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
You know, I told him that before.
Yeah.
I was like, I just wanted to be him. And uh-huh. going to Cardinal games, you remember the Camel X booth at the
yeah.
old Busch
yeah.
Stadium,
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
Kind of hung over home plate.
Yeah, and it had the big white Camel X
right.
sign.
Yeah.
I'd look for that white hair.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, to see Jack up there, and I'd be pointing my dad, hey, there's Jack Buck.
Yeah.
There's Jack Buck. So I think he had a lot to do with it.
Yeah,
thought I would be the voice of the Cardinals one yeah. day, but that didn't really
well,
work out.
Well, you were the voice of the Dome for
yeah,
the Rams.
For the public address. I did public address for the Rams for the last 6 years.
So, mm-hmm. but you live a conflicted life when it comes to the support of your teams, because here you were at the Bragging Rights game watching Mizzou get stomped, and I'm sure you relished in that.
I loved every second of it.
But I swear to goodness, last week you told Hancock and I you may be going down to
yeah,
Dallas
because
to
I'm
go
a Mizzou
see Mizzou.
Fan.
Well,
yeah.
Well, come on, buddy. You got to figure it out.
So after the Bragging Rights,
yeah.
you know, I'm there at the game wearing my orange sweater, and we actually, my tickets were on the Mizzou side because they sort of split this
right.
up 50-50.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting around, nestled around all kinds of Mizzou fans, and everyone was polite. Everything was great. And the next day I woke up, got ready to just do what I was doing, but it wasn't... I think it was the 23rd was the next day. They played on the 22nd.
Yeah.
So the next day wasn't Christmas Eve. I was off from work and just tooling around the neighborhood and the house or whatever. Put on my Mizzou hoodie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I was back to being a Mizzou fan. I'm only not a Mizzou fan one day a year.
You going to do it? You going to make the trip down to Dallas?
I don't know. We haven't decided. We're going
to
be a last minute decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ticket prices are plummeting. I think some Ohio State people.
Well, they don't
have
a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally don't have a quarterback. I don't know how they're going to play this game.
And is Marvin Harrison Jr. even going? I don't think he is. Their star wideout.
No.
I don't think they care that much.
Can you imagine at the beginning of the year if I would have told you, listen, Ohio State and Mizzou are going to play in a bowl game against each other and Mizzou will be favored?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you have taken that wager?
You know,
no
even,
way.
I think I like Mizzou even straight up.
Yeah.
Even if Ohio State was playing everybody.
Maybe, yeah.
They haven't been that dominant.
Yeah. No, they haven't.
And Mizzou can play with anyone.
Yeah.
So the coach.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Missouri's really, really good.
And they're going to be better
next
year, I think.
One of the top 10 teams in the country.
I feel like I'm rooting for this coach because I don't think he's as polished as the Nick Sabans and of the world. I think
Who
he's.
Who drink?
Yeah, I think he's kind of more engaged. I think he's more relatable, kind of goofy. You can't help but root for the guy.
No, I know. I like him.
Yeah.
Is especially when they're winning.
Goofy. I mean,
yeah.
He showed up with a cowboy hat on yesterday.
He's quirky.
And, he's a quirky guy.
And I like him, too. But, you know, his job was going into this season was a lot of people were saying, you know, man, if this thing doesn't work.
Yeah, he's like hot seat.
Yeah. Yeah, because last year was not exactly
he's good
stellar.
Now.
Oh, he's fine now. Yeah, and, you know, Gary Pinkel, the best coach in recent history for Mizzou, and this guy hasn't a chance. He's not there yet, but he's got a chance to be in that same conversation.
Yeah.
Well, he's bringing in some great players.
He is.
Well, I hope you get a chance to make it, and I think the tickets will be open there. I heard that ticket prices on all those bowl games drop as we get closer to them.
Yes, there we go.
Fight for old Mizzou. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
I was watching that Chiefs game against the other night. By the fourth quarter, he could have gotten front row seats there, too.
It was fairly empty at the beginning of that game.
We got to step aside for the news. We'll come back with Andy Banker and talk some politics this.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Probably hard for us to remember because it feels like the world is spinning so fast now, how it quickly is. Things change. But at the beginning of this year, we were in the midst of the Kim Gardner crisis.
Yeah.
It was, we had the volleyball player. Lost her legs in downtown St. Louis with that. And finally, the pressure seemed to have mounted on Kim Gardner, and Jefferson City got involved. And were you amazed at how long it took to finally pull her out and that there was no shame throughout this entire process?
Frankly, I'm surprised she left.
Really?
So, yeah, I figured she was just going to be recalcitrant and just stick it out, you know. And I think she probably would have gotten reelected.
Oh, I think that's probably right.
So allow me to plug our show on Sunday morning.
You go right ahead and plug away.
8:30 on Fox 2, Hancock and Kelly, hosted by me. When we just did our last year in review last Sunday, Kim Gardner being ousted was the number one story for both of you guys. And this coming weekend, we're doing the winners and losers of 2023, and then a look ahead to the top elections of 2024.
Yeah, looking down the road.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. I don't know if anyone out there really knows. I started hosting this show, 3 years ago about
seems
now?
Like, yeah.
Right.
And
right
I'd never done it. As long as you guys had been doing it without me, I had never done it. I was just sort of drafted to fill in. And, I've covered politics for more than 30 years and more than 20 in St. Louis. Since 94 in St. Louis.
Wow.
So it is almost 30 years in St. Louis. And I wasn't drawn to it in any particular way. You know, I don't know that I was the most suited or I did not seek to host your show.
Right.
You know.
Well, who would?
No. I don't mean that to sound any bad way.
Well, you sit between us, you look good, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because now it's the best thing I do. The thing that drives me to the thing I'm most interested in, and I was not. I don't like to mix it up politically because I feel like it's such a can't-win situation. But I am excited about 2024 never been.
Well, and I think you brought in, Andy, when you came in, you really brought the local angle, which I think is the most important thing that local politics or a political show. And, you know, if people want to hear what's happening nationally, they can turn on anything. So when you really brought the focus of not only the city of St. Louis, which I think the media gives way too much attention to, but St. Charles and Jefferson County and St. Louis County and Southern Illinois.
And the east side, yeah.
Yeah, and you brought some attention to it, and I think that's really helped connect with people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Good.
And well, I think we helped drive the story, to be honest with you, on Kim Gardner. Now, it got out of control there for a while, but we continued to revisit it because rarely do you have somebody on both sides of the aisle agreeing on something, and we were lockstep on this new style of prosecutor is ultimately detrimental to the safety of a region. And that was the point that I think you and I tried to drive home constantly, John.
Yeah, and you mentioned the young woman that lost her legs. She's in town from Tennessee with her family for a volleyball tournament, walking down the street.
When was that? Was that like in April?
I think it was February.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
And a guy who is on probation for armed robbery.
Supposed to be on house arrest, right?
He's
supposed to be monitored.
Well, he violated his probation more than 50 times, and he was never locked up. And then he causes this accident, which causes the young woman to lose her legs. Regardless of how you feel about Kim Gardner, you wanted that to count for something, right? And I hate to talk about this personal tragedy for her and her family changing things in St. Louis. But still, you don't like to look at it in those terms, but still, you still wanted it to force change here, right? You're like, something's got to change. We can't just wake up the next day and everything just continues the way it was before. And it happened.
Right.
I mean, it is a sea change with Gabe Gore as the circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably different, right? And I don't think that happens if the tragedy doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have happened because there were other things turning, but that really,
well, when you've
really...
got, when you've got lawyers not showing up from the prosecutor's office for a murder trial.
Yes.
We had that happen more than once.
Right.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's just thing after thing.
And
after
people
thing.
Being released because of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing that I think we drove home a lot in this locally this last year was just the crime issue that's taking place in St. Louis, the gun violence. I mean, we had those videos of the Airbnbs on Washington Avenue,
yeah.
folks shooting, you know, buildings up on Market. The old famous bar building that you
yes.
spent a lot of time covering, Andy. It's one of the great buildings in St. Louis, and it's really sad where we're at right now with it.
The looting and there have been fires in there and people squatting and people staying in there, and the St. Louis Fire Department lost a dog, you know, one of their canine
right.
cadaver dogs, and he fell from a window.
Ooh.
Because there was a report of a body inside that building. That building's buttoned up now, though. They put the metal grating
right.
over the
board ups
that
failed. What are they going to do with the Railway Exchange building? I mean, it's a very historic piece of architecture. I remember going to meetings in that building when May Company, that was their headquarters. And, very ornate in there. It was just a great, great old building.
Granite. It's marketable. I mean, there are some, there's lots of ideas, and there are a lot of developers who are interested just at the right price,
right.
which is
nothing.
Very, very low.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, especially with those historic buildings. I mean, once you get in there and start redeveloping those, hey, you've got to keep them to the same standards,
right.
and then gosh knows what you're going to stumble upon in
it
there.
It would be mixed use.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah, it would have to be.
There'd be some ground level retail, some apartments, some business, some condos, whatever. One of the plans I remember we talked about had a rooftop pool. You know, they wanted to put that in there. Could you imagine? That would
right.
be fabulous. That would be great. And that building is incredible with that terracotta exterior.
Yeah.
And it's more than a million square feet. And it's an entire block.
Yeah.
Between Olive and Locust, I think,
yep.
and 7th and 6th. It's just that building.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I think the other story that consumed a lot of time, and this is somewhat specific to St. Louis, but regionally, was the whole policing and lack of 911 operators was
yep.
also a huge story that we dealt with locally. And, you know, we talk about the police shortage in the city, and it's a problem. What are we at, 300, 350 short now?
At least.
But they're short in other parts of the region, too. And I feel like we've demonized this profession to the place that it's hard to get these young men and women interested in becoming a police officer because it's almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
And it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been more dangerous. And, you know, if you talk about that and or crime, I think you get this mixed bag because the mayor, and she's right, and people can tout a record of homicides going down. Well, they were so incredibly high in 2020, 2021
right,
with
yeah.
the pandemic and everything else. Everything spiked everywhere, but they really spiked in St. Louis. So now they're coming down, but they're still at levels that are way too high for a city this size. I think everyone can see that. But it's not just homicides. It's people doing donuts up and down the street and the reckless driving everywhere.
Yeah, lawless.
Lawlessness.
Yep.
No temp tags.
Right.
I was driving behind a car yesterday in South St. Louis. A guy, I think it was on River to Pear Boulevard. Not only no temp tag, no tag at all. And mm-hmm. he's just driving along, smoking away, and thinking, what the heck? I can't say 100% for sure that he was smoking marijuana, but it sure smelled like it.
Right. The crime situation, and this is not just a city issue. It's spilled out
region,
into
sure.
the whole region.
Without
a doubt. But the 911 thing, I mean, it just still is confounding to me that you call 911, you get put on hold. I mean, we had a sheriff's deputy get carjacked in downtown St.
Yeah,
Louis
we did.
Waiting to call 911.
Yeah, yes, and Illinois, actually, we're talking about Illinois. They've got a system over there with their emergency responders where if all the lines are busy or for whatever reason the particular jurisdiction is understaffed, those calls immediately are transferred to another county.
Right.
And they can answer them there and handle them, and they can dispatch the police through that. And why St. Louis hasn't figured out a mechanism Because, look, if there's a worker shortage. I get it. Every company's looking for labor, and 911 operators are no different, I would imagine. But there's got to be other alternative solutions. So you can't have a 911 system where people can't get through. That just can't happen. And it's been happening over and over again in this town.
Seems to me that a lot of the issues that we deal with from a regional basis are simply that. It's the fragmentation of our region. And it feels like a lot of the stories we covered as well and talked about the dysfunctionality between, the 70-something municipalities in St. Louis County?
90-something.
The failure to cooperate between the city and the county. St. Charles saying, hey, this is your problem. Illinois looking at us all over here like we're nuts and us looking at them like they're nuts. And it's, as we have all gotten to travel and we've covered this, it's even more frustrating because we all love the traditions and what St. Louis is, but it sure seems like St. Louis needs to change to fix some of these problems because you can't continue to do things the same way.
Well, if you were creating a government from scratch today, say you, I don't know, Millstatt, suddenly, you know, 1.5 million people move in over there and you gotta, you know, your existing government's not going to cut it. The last government you would design is anything that looks anything like the design of St. Louis city government.
Right.
I mean, you get this three-headed monster, the Board of Estimate and Apportionment, where nobody really has any power vested in the mayor. It's a weak mayor system that we have here. And it's just...
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Probably hard for us to remember because it feels like the world is spinning so fast now, how
it
quickly
is.
Things change. But at the beginning of this year, we were in the midst of the Kim Gardner crisis.
Yeah.
It was, we had the volleyball player lost her legs in downtown St. Louis with that. And finally, the pressure seemed to have mounted on Kim Gardner, and Jefferson City got involved, and were you amazed at how long it took to finally pull her out and that there was no shame throughout this entire process?
Frankly, I'm surprised she left.
Really?
So, yeah, I figured she was just going to be recalcitrant and just stick it out, you know. And I think she probably would have gotten reelected,
unfortunately. Oh, I think that's probably right.
So allow me to plug our show on Sunday morning.
You go ahead and plug away.
8:30 on Fox 2,
that's
Hancock
right.
and Kelly, hosted by me. When we just did our last year in review last Sunday, Kim Gardner being ousted was the number one story for both of you guys. And this coming weekend, we're doing the winners and losers of 2023 and then a look ahead to the top elections of 2024.
Yeah, looking down the road.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. I don't know if anyone out there really knows. I started hosting this show, 3 years ago,
right?
And
right,
I'd never
COVID.
Done it as long as you guys been doing it without me. I had never done it. I was just sort of drafted to fill in, and I've covered politics for more than 30 years and more than 20 in St. Louis. Since 1994 in St. Louis.
Wow!
So it is almost 30 years in St. Louis, and I wasn't drawn to it in any particular way. You know, I don't know that I was the most suited I did not seek to host your show.
Right.
You know.
Well, who would?
no. I don't mean that to sound any bad way.
Well, you sit between us, you look good, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because now it's the best thing I do. The thing that drives me to the thing I'm most interested in, and I was not. I don't like to mix it up politically because I feel like it's such a can't-win situation. But I am excited about 2024 never been.
Well, and I think you brought in, Andy, when you came in, you really brought the local angle, which I think is the most important thing that local politics or a political show. You know, if people want to hear what's happening nationally, they can turn on anything. So when you really brought the focus of not only the city of St. Louis, which I think the media gives way too much attention to, but St. Charles and Jefferson County and St. Louis County and Southern Illinois.
And the east side, yeah.
Yeah, and you brought some attention to it, and I think that's really helped connect with people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Good.
And I think we helped drive the story, to be honest with you, on Kim Gardner. Now, it got out of control there for a while, but we continued to revisit it because rarely do you have somebody on both sides of the aisle agreeing on something, and we were lockstep on this new style of prosecutor is ultimately detrimental to the safety of a region. And that was the point that I think you and I tried to drive home constantly, John.
Yeah, and you mentioned the young woman that lost her legs. She's in town from Tennessee with her family for a volleyball tournament, walking down the street.
When was that? Was that like in April?
I think it was February.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
And a guy who is on probation for armed robbery.
Supposed to be on house arrest, right?
He's
supposed to be monitored.
Well, he violated his probation more than 50 times, and he was never locked up. And then he causes this accident, which causes the young woman to lose her legs. Regardless of how you feel about Kim Gardner, you wanted that to count for something, right? And I hate to talk about, you know, this personal tragedy for her and her family changing things in St. Louis. But still, you don't like to look at it in those terms, but still, you still wanted it to force change here, right? You're like, something's got to change. We can't just wake up the next day and everything just continues the way it was before. And it happened.
Right.
I mean, it is a sea change with Gabe Gore as the circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably different.
Right.
And I don't think that happens if the tragedy doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have happened because there were other things turning, but that really,
when you've
really.
Got, when you've got lawyers not showing up from the prosecutor's office for a murder trial.
Yes.
We had that happen more than once.
Right.
And I mean, it's just thing after thing.
And
after
people
thing.
Being released because of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing that I think we drove home a lot in this locally this last year was just the crime issue that's taking place in St. Louis, the gun violence. I mean, we had those videos of the Airbnbs on Washington Avenue, folks shooting, you know, buildings up on Market. The old famous bar building that you spent a lot of time covering, Andy. It's one of the great buildings in St. Louis, and it's really sad where we're at right now with it.
The looting and there have been fires in there and people squatting and people staying in there, and the St. Louis Fire Department lost a dog, you know, one of their canine cadaver dogs, and he fell from a window.
Ooh.
Because there was a report of a body inside that building. That building's buttoned up now, though. They put the metal grating over the board ups that failed.
What are they going to do with the Railway Exchange building? I mean, it's a very historic piece of architecture. I remember going to meetings in that building when May Company, that was their headquarters. And, very ornate in there. It was just a great, great old building.
It's marketable. I mean, there are some, there's lots of ideas, and there are a lot of developers who are interested just at the right price,
right?
Which is very, very low.
Yeah.
You know,
well, especially with those historic buildings. I mean, once you get in there and start redeveloping those, you've got to keep them to the same standards, and then gosh knows what you're going to stumble upon.
It would be mixed use.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it would have to be.
There'd be some ground level retail, some apartments, some business, some condos, whatever. One of the plans I remember we talked about had a rooftop pool. You know, they wanted to put that in there. Could you imagine? That would be fabulous. That would be great. And that building is incredible with that terracotta exterior.
Yeah.
And it's more than a million square feet. And it's an entire block.
Yeah.
Between Olive and Locust, I think, and 7th and 6th. It's just that building.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I think the other story that consumed a lot of time, and this is somewhat specific to St. Louis, but regionally, was the whole policing and lack of 911 operators was also a huge story that we dealt with locally. And, you know, we talk about the police shortage in the city, and it's a problem. What are we at, 300 and 350 short it now?
At least.
But they're short in other parts of the region, too. And I feel like we've demonized this profession to the place that it's hard to get these young men and women interested in becoming a police officer because it's almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
And it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been more dangerous. And, you know, if you talk about that and or crime, I think you get this mixed bag because the mayor, and she's right, and people can tout a record of homicides going down. Well, they were so incredibly high in 2020, 2021 with the pandemic and everything else. Everything spiked everywhere, but they really spiked in St. Louis. So now they're coming down, but they're still at levels that are way too high for a city this size. I think everyone can see that. But it's not just homicides. It's people doing donuts up and down the street and the reckless driving everywhere.
Yeah, lawless.
Lawlessness.
Yep.
No temp tags. Right. I was driving behind a car yesterday in South St. Louis. A guy, I think it was on the River to Pear Boulevard. Not only no temp tag, no tag at all. And mm-hmm. he's just driving along, smoking away and thinking, what the heck? I can't say 100% for sure that he was smoking marijuana, but it sure smelled like it.
Right. The crime situation, and this is not just a city issue. It's spilled out into
sure.
the whole region.
Without a doubt.
But the 911 thing, I mean, it just still is confounding to me that you call 911, you get put on hold. I mean, we had a sheriff's deputy get carjacked in downtown St.
Yeah,
Louis waiting to call 911.
Yeah, yes, and Illinois, actually, we're talking about Illinois. They've got a system over there with their emergency responders where if all the lines are busy or for whatever reason the particular jurisdiction is understaffed, those calls immediately are transferred to another county.
Right.
And they can answer them there and handle them, and they can dispatch the police through that. And why St. Louis hasn't figured out a mechanism, because, look, there's worker shortage. I get it. Every company's looking for labor, and 911 operators are no different, I would imagine. But there's got to be other alternative solutions. So you can't have a 911 system where people can't get through. That just can't happen. And it's been happening over and over again in this town.
Seems to me that a lot of the issues that we deal with from a regional basis are simply that. It's the fragmentation of our region. And it feels like a lot of the stories we covered as well and talked about the dysfunctionality between the 70-something municipalities in St. Louis County.
90-something.
The failure to cooperate between the city and the county. St. Charles saying, hey, this is your problem. Illinois looking at us all over here like we're nuts and us looking at them like they're nuts. And it's we've all gotten to travel and we've covered this. It's even more frustrating because we all love the traditions and what St. Louis is, but it sure seems like St. Louis needs to change to fix some of these problems because you can't continue to do things the same way.
Well, if you were creating a government from scratch today, say you, I don't know, Millstatt, suddenly, you know, 1.5 million people move in over there and you got to your existing government's not going to cut it. The last government you would design is anything that looks anything like the design of St. Louis city government.
Right.
I mean, you get this three-headed monster, the Board of Estimate and Apportionment, where nobody really has any power vested in the mayor. It's a weak mayor system that we
right.
have here. And it's just, and then you know, let's have one alderman for every 53 people. I mean, you know, we had those 27 aldermen for a while for a
right.
city of 290,000 people. So, yeah, you would not design a government that looks like St. Louis
City.
But
then you layer it in with St. Louis County, and that's not the most effective way to do it
right.
either.
And that's right.
That's my, New Year's wish, and I think it's been that for the last several years. I mean, Better Together, there was a lot that people didn't like about it, but it was almost all right. We have got to find some way to consolidate governments. We're wasting money compared to the regions that we compete against. Did you guys ever think there'd be a day that St. Louis would be going to Kansas City to study how to do things?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to look at them as this dumb little brother.
I've got a great example of this, and this was a report I did last week where the city of St. Louis, this is along the North Riverfront, Riverview
mm-hmm.
Boulevard, Riverview, the city of Riverview, the city of St. Louis, and Glasgow Village, which is unincorporated St. Louis County, all come together. And it's a big dumping zone. People from Illinois, people from North County, people from the city drive out there. It's infuriating. There's about a half-mile stretch where people just dump their trash. And I'm not talking about dumping a paper cup or McDonald's wrappers or whatever.
Which you shouldn't
do. They take their bags of trash, you know, a nicely tied up hefty bag, and chuck it out the window or a trailer full. There's, you know, we had photos of people dumping off the back of a trailer. The thing is, to address this problem, you've got three different governments
yeah.
in the span of a half mile.
Yeah.
This half mile stretch actually runs through three different municipalities or entities, St. Louis County, City of St. Louis, and City of Riverview. So whose job is it to clean it up? they have to have a meeting.
Yeah. You know? Well, Charlie Brennan will get them together and figure it out.
Charlie's been cleaning up the streets around this town for a long time. By the way, Charlie's going to be in on Friday for Chris and Amy.
Yeah. So a week that we get both Andy Banker and Charlie Brennan?
Well,
talk about some bookends.
Wonder if he still has any Charlie Brennan barbecue sauce.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Yeah.
We'll find out.
We'll be back with Andy Banker on KMOX after this right here on the DGS.
St. Louis, Michael Kelly, John Hancock filling in for Dave. He'll be back next year, as will the rest of the cast and crew. Kevin Wheeler, actually, I think, is back on Friday. Andrew Stoltz, the producer, is going to be with us a bit next hour as well. We'll find out how he's enjoying his vacation time. But joining us now is our buddy, our moderator, our host of Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2 in St. Louis, 8:30 Sunday mornings, Andy Banker. So now you're sitting in between us, Andy.
Yes.
Moderate away.
Hey, well, you know, I wanted to mention this to you guys because I did a social media post and I was trying to flip our picture around and be clever, saying, oh, I'm flipping the script. When I first flipped it, I actually flipped where you were on the left and Micah was on the right. Could you imagine if we did the show that? How much difference does that make if you were sitting on the other side? Could you focus? Wouldn't it be so weird?
Well, I couldn't do it on that side because that's my bad side. But
left side?
No, my right side is my bad side. So the left side is my good side. So I have to.
What are you, like Barbara Streisand? Yeah. You only have a shot from one side?
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. Such a prima donna.
Well, I mean, you got to give the people what they want.
This must have been before we had Andy as our moderator, but it was when we were still not allowed in studio.
Yes.
So we weren't allowed in studio, and John and I, but the world had already come back, so I don't know why we weren't in studio.
Well, I started when we were not in studio together, too.
So we were in Florida together.
Yes.
And we did the show from my place down in Florida, and John was in one bedroom, and I was in the other. And when we came back from Final Thoughts, we had switched rooms. and we said, sometimes you got to sit in the other guy's chair to understand what's up.
Messed him up in the control room.
All right. So if we were, I'm going to resume my hosting duties.
Go right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's flash forward to this year, next year this time is what I'm trying to say.
Right. December the
27th. We will know who some big winners were.
Totally.
In November of 2024. Any surprises out there? Pick a race. Who do you think is someone that we're underestimating who's going to be
holding
a higher office?
I don't think either Joe Biden or Donald Trump will be the president of the United States after the November election.
Who will it be, John Hancock?
Nikki
Haley or Gavin Newsom?
Well, there's a good chance, yes.
One of those two. Yeah. That's a pretty good prediction.
You buy that, Michael?
Yeah, but I think there's a caveat to what John's saying. John's been advocating that he doesn't believe that Joe Biden will be the nominee. I was kind of in that camp a year ago. I still understand the idea behind it and think that it probably makes some sense, but I think Joe Biden is going to get reelected.
People will be talking about how prescient my thought process was.
All right.
Quite prescient.
A few months from now.
As we say on Sunday morning, mark the tape.
Mark the tape.
I think the other thing that will be interesting is not necessarily what's going to happen in November. It's what's going to happen in August in Missouri as it relates to the gubernatorial contest. Now, the Republicans, you know, this is a red state, unfortunately, and they tend to have been winning statewide. There's going to be three of them going at it, and I think that will consume most of the energy. I think that we're essentially going to pick our governor in August. Now, they may act the fool on the Republican side. With Jay Ashcroft, Bill Igel, and Lieutenant Governor Kehoe. Well enough that we're in a place that Crystal Quaid can come up the middle. But it's awfully hard for a Democrat to win statewide.
Well,
here,
you've got your own primary over there, and I'm working to support Mike Keogh, for full disclosure. But you've got a primary on your side too.
It's this Hamra just hopped in, which is a business family out of Springfield.
Got money out there.
Yeah, he's got some money. I will be a part of an organization that's supportive of Crystal Quaid, a traditional Democrat. But I think that the August primary elections are going to be interesting.
And the one that not as many people are talking about is the attorney general primary.
Well, particularly on your side.
Well, on the Republican side, you've got the incumbent Andrew Bailey. You've got Will Scharf, who was a counsel in the Greitens administration.
And now he's working for Trump.
Now he's working for Donald Trump.
God help us.
He's going to be very well. Both of them are going to be very well funded. I think it's possible that there'll be more money spent on the attorney general primary in Missouri than will be spent in the governor's primary.
What about first congressional?
I think
Cori Bush, Democrat. This was an August battle too, with her and St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell.
I'm hopeful that Cori doesn't get reelected, but it's awfully hard to beat an incumbent. Wesley Bell has got to change the type of candidate he was when he was a candidate for the Senate. Not much evidence there yet that that's the case.
Any other incumbents in trouble anywhere?
Not Hawley? Congressional incumbents. I don't think Hawley's in trouble.
Ann Wagner?
No.
No way?
No.
I don't think we're going to see much change. The first district, it will be interesting. If Wesley can put it together, he could make a run. That could be exciting. But we're not going to see any seats in Congress party-wise change in the region or in the state.
I think that's right. And Mike Bost over on the east side looks like he's going to have a primary challenge.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I don't want to forget about that with him and Darren Bailey, candidate for Illinois governor.
Right.
There's another senator guy with some money, right?
He's got a little bit of money. I think Bost wins that primary, but it's going to be, this is where politics is taking place now, is in primary elections. Michael, we are out of time.
Andy, thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you Sunday morning at 8:30 on Fox 2. You'll be our moderator as we look at the year ahead.
Yes. Thanks so much for your time. Great stuff, as always. I expected it would
be. Thank you, boys.
We're going to move
Happy
from
New Year.
Andy Banker to Andrew Stoltz, a producer of the Dave Glover Show, who's enjoying a few days off, but not today. And that's next after the news right here on KMOX. St. Louis, Michael Kelly, John Hancock filling in for Dave. He'll be back next year, as will the rest of the cast and crew. Kevin Wheeler, actually, I think, is back on Friday. Andrew Stoltz, the producer, is going to be with us a bit next hour as well. We'll find out how he's enjoying his vacation time. But joining us now is our buddy, our moderator, our host of Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2 in St. Louis, 8:30 Sunday mornings, Andy Banker. So now you're sitting in between us, Andy.
Yes.
Moderate away.
Hey, well, you know, I wanted to mention this to you guys because I did a social media post and I was trying to flip our picture around and be clever, saying, oh, I'm flipping the script. When I first flipped it, I actually flipped where you were on the left and Micah was on the right. Could you imagine if we did the show that? How much difference does that make if you were sitting on the other side? Could you focus? Wouldn't it be so weird?
Well, I couldn't do it on that side because that's my bad side. But
left side?
No, my right side is my bad side. So the left side is my good side. So I have to.
What are you, like Barbara Streisand? Yeah. You only have a shot from one side?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Such a prima donna.
Well, I mean, you got to give the people what they want.
This must have been before we had Andy as our moderator, but it was when we were still not allowed in studio.
Yes.
So we weren't allowed in studio, and John and I, but the world had already come back, so I don't know why we weren't in studio.
Well, I started when we were not in studio together, too.
So we were in Florida together.
Yes.
And we did the show from my place down in Florida, and John was in one bedroom, and I was in the other. And when we came back from Final Thoughts, we had switched rooms. and we said, sometimes you got to sit in the other guy's chair to understand what's up.
Messed him up in the control room.
All right. So if we were, I'm going to resume my hosting duties.
Go right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's flash forward to this year, next year this time is what I'm trying to say.
Right. December the
27th. We will know who some big winners were.
Totally.
In November of 2024. Any surprises out there? Pick a race. Who do you think is someone that we're underestimating who's going to be holding a higher office?
I don't think either Joe Biden or Donald Trump will be the president of the United States after the November election.
Who will it be? Nikki Haley or Gavin Newsom?
Well, there's a good chance, yes.
One of those two? Yeah. That's a pretty good prediction.
You buy that, Michael?
Yeah, but I think there's a caveat to what John's saying. John's been advocating that he doesn't believe that Joe Biden will be the nominee. I was kind of in that camp a year ago. I still understand the idea behind it and think that it probably makes some sense, but I think Joe Biden is going to get reelected.
People will be talking about how prescient my thought process was.
All right.
Quite prescient.
A few months from now.
As we say on Sunday morning, mark the tape.
Mark the tape.
I think the other thing that will be interesting is not necessarily what's going to happen in November. It's what's going to happen in August in Missouri as it relates to the gubernatorial contest. Now, the Republicans, you know, this is a red state, unfortunately, and they tend to have been winning statewide. There's going to be three of them going at it, and I think that will consume most of the energy. I think that we're essentially going to pick our governor in August. Now, they may act the fool on the Republican side. With Jay Ashcroft, Bill Igel, and Lieutenant Governor Kehoe. Well enough that we're in a place that Crystal Quaid can come up the middle. But it's awfully hard for a Democrat to win statewide.
Well, you've got your own primary over there, and I'm working to support Mike Kehoe, for full disclosure. But you've got a primary on your side too.
Well, this Hamra just hopped in, which is a business family out of Springfield.
Got money out there.
Yeah, he's got some money. I will be a part of an organization that's supportive of Crystal Quaid, a traditional Democrat. But I think that the August primary elections are going to be interesting.
And the one that not as many people are talking about is the attorney general primary.
Well, particularly on your side.
Well, on the Republican side, you've got the incumbent Andrew Bailey. You've got Will Scharf, who was a counsel in the Greitens administration.
And now he's working for Trump.
Now he's working for Donald Trump.
God help us.
He's going to be very well. Both of them are going to be very well funded. I think it's possible that there'll be more money spent on the attorney general primary in Missouri than will be spent in the governor's primary.
What about first congressional?
I think
Cori Bush, Democrat. This was an August battle too, with her and St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell.
I'm hopeful that Cori doesn't get reelected, but it's awfully hard to beat an incumbent. Wesley Bell has got to change the type of candidate he was when he was a candidate for the Senate. Not much evidence there yet that that's the case.
Any other incumbents in trouble anywhere?
Not Josh Hawley? Congressional incumbents. I don't think Hawley's in trouble.
Ann Wagner?
No.
No way?
No.
I don't think we're going to see much change. The first district, it will be interesting. If Wesley can put it together, he could make a run. That could be exciting. But we're not going to see any seats in Congress party-wise change in the region or in the state.
I think that's right. And Mike Bost over on the east side looks like he's going to have a primary challenge.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I don't want to forget about that with him and Darren Bailey, candidate for Illinois governor.
Right.
There's another senator. Guy with some money, right?
He's got a little bit of money. I think Bost wins that primary, but it's going to be, this is where politics is taking place now, is in primary elections. Michael, we are out of time.
Andy, thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you Sunday morning at 8:30 on Fox 2. You'll be our moderator as we look at the year ahead.
Yes. Thanks so much for your time. Great stuff, as always. I expected it would
be. Thank you, boys.
We're going to move
Happy
from
New Year.
Andy Banker to Andrew Stoltz, a producer of the Dave Glover Show, who's enjoying a few days off, but not today. And that's next after the news right here on KMOX.